Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, Christ Church. And happy anniversary month as well. As Jeff mentioned, October is our 30th anniversary month as a church. Next week, we'll be celebrating with a great service here, including the team of youth choir is going to be right here to sing with us and to us as we gather in the name of Christ to celebrate 30 wonderful years. You'll want to pull out your Christ Church notes. They're there in your worship program. Go ahead and find those, if you would. There's a pen or pencil on the seat back in front of you. While you're doing that, I would tell our online folks that there is a tab there on the screen where you can print out the notes there and follow along yourself as we continue in our Difference Maker 2017. You know, last week I told you, that when I read the scripture, I seem to come across two words over and over and over again that seem to me, anyway, to be central to the teaching of Jesus. Two words central to the teaching of Jesus. Do you remember what they were from last week? Anybody? What are they? Come and go. That's exactly right. Here they are, come and go. I want you to write that in. Two words, I think, that are central to the teaching of Jesus. Whenever you read the gospel stories, you'll see that all throughout the words of Jesus, to come and to go. You know, to those of us who know and follow Jesus, whose lives have been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, by His grace and forgiveness, Jesus tells us to go. He tells us to go. And here's an example of exactly how Jesus said it. In fact, Jesus said, He said, go to the people of all nations and make them my disciples. Let's say that together. Go to the people of all nations and make them my disciples. Now, you know, among the many ways that we here at Christ Church go into the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ, responding to that call of God for us to go into the world, are some bold and courageous faith initiatives that we've been focusing on for the past year, in fact. And the first one is the launch of our new online church campus. I'm going to invite right now Pastor Tony Arnold and his team to come on up and join me here. We're going to actually have prayer over them and commission them out. Pastor Tony is leading the charge there for the online church campus. You know, besides the folks that are right here, come on up, come right on up. We have before us a couple of folks from out of town who are joining us together. Go ahead and why don't we put them up on screen as well. There's Sammy Phillips right there. Sammy is in Iraq. And he is joining us live online right there. And Sarah's not here yet, is she? Okay, well, Sarah Lindengren from England, well, both our church members are here with us, or Sarah will be in a few minutes, I believe, but will be gathering with us. In fact, I believe, Tony, that Sammy and Sarah are going to be leading small group online. Is that right?
Oh, that is right. Yeah, we are super excited. One of my big ways that I've grown in my faith is through small groups. And so I really believe that as we launch this online campus, one of the best things we can do is to empower leaders who can form small groups and then empower new leaders who can form more small groups in turn so that people grow in their faith.
Fantastic. And Sammy, I know you can't see me, but welcome. So glad you're here and looking forward to what you're going to be doing through leading small group there virtually from Iraq all around the world. So can you hear me?
Yes, I can. You sound real good. Pastor Tony's a little hard to hear, but you're loud and clear.
So, all right. Well, yeah. That's the way it usually is. So it's going to be good. We're so glad to have you from Iraq. What time is it over there?
It's 4:45. Almost 5 p.m.
Almost 5 p.m. Well, we're glad that you're with us, even virtually. Sammy's a member of Christ Church as well as Sarah Lindgren, and we're thrilled that they're going to be involved in this new venture for Christ Church that launches next Sunday on our 30th anniversary birthday as we take the gospel into the world. So why don't we do this together? Why don't we pray for the team behind me, for Pastor Tony, and for our online church campus launch as we launch into taking the gospel into the world. Let's pray together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all the good gifts you give to us. Your love for us never fails. And we thank you, Lord, that we are responding to your call to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. And one of the ways we do that, Lord, is through this online campus launch. We pray your Holy Spirit to come upon this launch in such a way that it would grow to be the kind of church you would call it to be, that we may grow in our faith, that we may love you more, and that we may make disciples of all nations. Again, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you, Sammy. We love you, buddy.
Thank you. God bless you. Love you, Pastor.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you so much. We're so very much looking forward to having you join Pastor Tony in launching this online campus. Let's thank them, shall we? All right, thank you very much. Well, you know, one thing that I didn't tell you last week, and I wanted to tell you about it this week, is we have received at Christ Church tentative approval to be the only church to stream into Virginia State prisons. And eventually, hopefully in 2018, yeah, it deserves a round of applause. That's absolutely true. You know that we will be taking the gospel into the Virginia State prisons, teaching Bible study and small group there as well. So we are looking forward so much to what the Lord is going to be able to do right here at Christ Church. You talk about a church that responds to God's call to go. That is happening right here. You know, another way that we're doing that, again, is through our school in Kenya. You know, we have this school called Hope Education Center. There it is. You can see it on the screen. You know, we purchased that land. We built that building right there. There are six or eight classrooms in that building. Problem is, we have 300 students and only half of them fit in that building. The others are in an iron sheet building with dirt floors and so forth just off to the side. What we're going to do in 2018 is we're going to take that roof off and we're going to pour a slab on the second floor and we're going to build the second floor with another six or eight classrooms in order to bring all the kids under one roof. You know, I mentioned this last week, but I'm going to tell you again. You know, our kids, we are the newest school in the school district. There are 70 schools in the school district there in that very, very, very rural part. You know, our school has no electricity, no running water. We have a catchment system there in order to catch water for them. But our school being the newest school there, even so, we score number one, number two, or number three in all the Kenya standardized testing for our kids and among all the 70 schools in that school district. And I'm telling you what, that too is worthy of applause, because our kids not only learn the ABCs and 1, 2s, 3s, but our kids learn Jesus. And so we're thrilled to be a part of what God is doing that way. Now, last week, one more time on how we are responding to God's call to go. Last week, I unveiled a new bold and courageous faith initiative for us in 2018. You know, coming off of all of the hurricanes that have been happening, and you know, even today along the Gulf Coast, there is tremendous damage from New Orleans over to Biloxi, Mississippi, as Hurricane Nate hit last night and is coming up as a tropical storm already. You know, in response, responding to all of that, one of the things that we're going to do is we are going to develop a emergency response team from here at Christ Church to respond to the recovery needs of those who are directly affected by natural disasters. You know, last Sunday, after worship, after I announced this, you know, there was a lot of people. I said to everybody, I said, now, after the first of the year, I'm going to put a call out, right? So that everybody who wants to be a part of that or learn more about it, then you can let me know your name or so forth. We already had 20-some people put their names on a connection card saying, count me in, count me in. You know, and Sunday night, I was on the sofa and flipping through my Facebook feed, and across my feed, I found this. I want to read it to you. It says, it's from one of our church folks. It says, my church just announced another initiative we're launching early next year. We're going to have our own emergency response team. Hearing this, I cried. I tried to make it discreet so that no one would think there was something wrong. But this is something that I really want to be a part of, and I can't wait to help get it off the ground. I was ready to run down the aisle while my pastor was talking about it, yelling, pick me, pick me. You know, it's just one of the ways that we are responding to God's call to go, to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. You know, next year we're going to get ourselves a trailer. We'll outfit it and stock it with all the tools and everything necessary. We'll pull the team together, and then across the Mid-Atlantic region, we'll be ready to respond when tragedy strikes. So, with these bold and courageous faith initiatives, we respond to God's call to what? To go. That's right. And that's exactly what we're doing. Now, the other word that's central in the teaching of Jesus is the word what? To come. That's right. To go and to come, or to come and to go. You know, to those who are broken, to those who are hurting, to those who are frustrated and confused, to those who are struggling and those who are burdened, Jesus says to come to himself. In fact, here's the scripture that gives us real clear guidance right here. Jesus says, come to me, all who are struggling and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let's do it together. Ready? Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are struggling and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matter of fact, why don't you take your pens and pencils for a moment and just circle those words, struggling and burdened. Circle those words, struggling and burdened. To those who are struggling and burdened, Jesus says, come. To those who are dealing with the struggling and burdened with temptation, Jesus says, come. To those who are struggling and burdened with different hurts and hang-ups and habits, Jesus says, come. He says, come and be set free. You know, many people in our own church and in our own community are struggling and burdened with hurts and hang-ups and habits that have kept them chained down, burdened by secret wounds. You know, and you know, I was thinking about what are secret wounds? Well, secret wounds are memories and resentments. They're anger and frustration and regrets and worries and fears that you and I may hold on to from our past. Memories of abandonment, memories of abuse, criticism and ridicule and pain and rejection or prejudice. Those memories that we've experienced in our past have this hold on us. Sometimes we find it hard to let go, and when we keep that going over time, so often many of us will turn to self-medication to deal with the mental and emotional and physical pain. In the deep hurt that maybe you've experienced, you turn maybe to alcohol or to drugs or or to porn or sex or gambling or whatever, just hoping and praying that somehow, some way, those kinds of things will bring us relief. The problem is, folks, you know it, I know it, we all know it. None of those things ever last. None of those things ever give us the lasting relief that we long for, that we hope for. And the longer it goes on, you know, you may have heard it, the phrase, time heals all wounds. Well, you know, in reality, it doesn't. Because the longer you hold on to it, the more you're self-medicating, the more that you self-medicate, the stronger this hole gets on you. And not only does it begin to ruin your own life, it begins to ruin the lives of those that you love. And this is where the church, God's people, are to step in. This is where that we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. This is where we need to put the gospel into action, to live out our gospel life while we love God and we love others and we live out this gospel life. We have to step in. Problem is that many churches are just either not courageous enough or are not large enough to be able to meet these needs and to step in and to take care of this healing kind of ministry. So it's time for us as Christ Church to do something about it. For the people who are struggling and burdened, for the people who are hurting, the people who are caught up in their hurts and hang-ups and habits that keep them chained down. When God is called to set us free, God has come to break the chains that bind us. God is called to give us the truth that sets us free. And how are we going to do that? I'm going to tell you how we're going to do it. Here's another bold that I'm going to unveil right now, a new bold and courageous faith initiative for us in 2018, 2019, and here it is. It's called Celebrate Recovery. I want you to write that down. Celebrate Recovery. We're going to step into the gap, folks. We're going to step into the gap for people who are struggling, for people who are hurting, for people who are so chained with the hurts and the hang-ups and the habits that they are hurting their own self and they're hurting the people around them. You know, what is Celebrate Recovery? Well, I'll tell you. It's a tried and true Christ-centered recovery ministry that's helped literally thousands, and I mean thousands of people all across our country break free from the burden of and the bonds and the pain of addiction. You know, Celebrate Recovery is based on 8 biblical principles that we find right in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus gave them, they're called the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. And here are the principles, and I want you to write them down so you understand what we're going to be about, how we're going to step in the gap, and how we're going to put this ministry together in order to set people free from what it is that is binding them down. Here's principle number 1. I want you to write it in. And that first one, word is to realize. Write that in, realize. Well, what are we realizing? We got to realize if we're going to recover, we got to realize that I'm not God. That I admit that I'm powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing and that my life is unmanageable. It's based on the very first beatitude Jesus said. Let's read it together. Are you ready? It's Matthew 5:3. He says, happy are those who know that they're spiritually poor. Let me tell you, you know, why is that a good thing to recognize that you're spiritually poor? Because I'll tell you, when you think you got it all together, then you're no longer open to the movement of the Holy Spirit. When you think you got it all together, you're no longer open to the healing that God wants you to have. You got to first admit, I'm not God. My life's out of control. I'm spiritually poor, and I need God's help. This is what we have to do. That's number one. The question you ask yourself, let me say, are you living in denial? Do you think you got it all together? Do you think that this issue that you're struggling with, oh, I can control it anytime that I want to? Well, if that's the case, why aren't you controlling it? If that's the case, why are you hurting the people around you? You see, you got to admit right up front, I'm not God. Life's unmanageable. I am powerless to control this thing that is my hurt, my hang up, my habit that is chaining me down. That's the first principle. Look at number two. Principle number two, the word is earnestly. I want you to write that in. Earnestly. What do you earnestly do? Earnestly believe that God exists. And not only that God exists, but that you matter to him. That's a big deal, folks. It's not enough just to say God exists. You got to believe, if you want to recover, you got to believe that you matter to God and that he has the power to help me recover. Earnestly believe that God exists, that I matter to God, and that he has the power to help me to recover. You know, until you admit God exists and that you matter to him, you're never going to make that movement that you need to make. You got to expose your hurt, your hang up, your habit to the light of God's love and his grace and his healing power. That's the principle. Look at Matthew 4, 5. No, go back. Let's do the scripture right there. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When we start to recognize that God loves us, that we are powerless, that we matter to him, though, we will then be comforted. All right, principle number three. Here's the word. Go ahead and put it on the screen. Consciously. What do we consciously do? Well, we've got to consciously choose to commit all my life and my will to Christ's care and control. Matter of fact, the scripture there that Jesus said are, happy are the meek. Happy are the meek. What are we talking about? This is the most important decision that you're going to make. You're saying, here I am, Lord, heal me. Before you've recognized that your life was out of control, second, you believe that God exists, and now you're committing your life to Christ, saying, I need you, Lord, here I am, heal me. What is principle number four? Check it out. The word is openly. Let's write that down. The word is openly. And what do we openly do? We openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Folks, this is important. We say, well, you know, I've prayed to God. Isn't that enough? God knows, isn't that enough? Well, the answer to that when you're on the road to recovery is no. It's not enough. You got to admit it, number one, to yourself, that you're broken, that you've got some character flaws that you need to get taken care of, that you're hurting yourself, that you're hurting people around you. You confess that fault to yourself, then you confess it to God, and here's the accountability, is you confess it to someone that you love and trust. Someone that you love and trust. This is the come clean principle. When you are coming clean, you're coming clean to yourself, you're coming clean to God, and you're coming clean to someone that you trust and know who loves you. Here's principle number five. Write this in. The word is voluntarily. Not because you have to, because you want to. It's voluntarily. What are you doing? You're voluntarily submitting to every change God wants to make in your life and humbly ask him to remove your character flaws. This is an important step. You got to ask God to remove these flaws. You open yourself up to say, God, whatever you need to do to heal me, do it. Whatever I need to change, I give myself to you so that this change may take place. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Let's read that together. Ready? Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Let me tell you, when you do this, you are now making yourself open. You are now open to doing what God is calling you to do. This is a tremendous principle on the road to recovery. And we do it, why? Not because you have to, but because you want to. You voluntarily say, here I am, Lord. All right. Number six, here's the word. It's evaluate. Evaluate. Principle number six, evaluate. What are you evaluating? Every relationship you have. You know, because some, frankly, some of the relationships we have may be those relationships that are just flat out not good. They may be enabling you to stay in that behavior rather than to break free from the chains that bond you. You have to evaluate all your relationships. And then, listen to this, you need to offer forgiveness to those who've hurt you. Very important. You've got to break this free. And then you've got to make amends for the harm that you've done to others. It's not just offering forgiveness. You need to make amends now for the harm and the hurt that you've done to other people around you. Except, here's the caveat to that, except when doing so would harm them or others. You don't make amends to someone when you're going to make those amends actually brings more harm to them than good. So you got to know the difference there. And here's the deal. It says, happy are the merciful, Jesus says. Jesus said, happy are those who offer this mercy to others. And happy are the, what's that word? The peacemakers. Make peace. This is what this is about. Evaluate those relationships. Make peace. Offer forgiveness. And let me tell you this. Why is this so important? Listen to me. Because you can get just as addicted to pain and bitterness and revenge as you can to drugs and alcohol and all that other. The strength of the addiction to revenge and to holding on to hatred and bitterness can keep you just as chained as any other thing you may be addicted to. Very important to recognize. Number seven. Here's the seventh principle. Word is reserve. Would you write that down? The word is reserve. What are we reserving? We're reserving a daily time of prayer with God for self-examination. It's Bible reading. It's prayer in order to know God and His will for your life and to gain the power that you need to follow His will. I left the scripture off of this one. I'll give it to you. It's Matthew 5:8. It's happy are the pure in heart. Those who are pure in heart. You know, why is this important? Because we got to be in constant relationship with the one who is our healer. We've got to be in constant relationship with the one who wants to break the chains that set us free. We need to examine ourselves in the light of God's word. We need to be in prayer and devotion and Bible study in order to know God's continuing will for our lives. To stay close to Him, to gain the power we need, to have the chains fall off so that we may walk free as God intended you to live to begin with. He didn't create you with all these chains. He created to set you free, and we need to live into that. That's fully living the gospel life, people. Living in chains is existence. God didn't call you to exist. God called you to live. Here's the last one, the last principle, is the word yield. I want you to write it in. The word is yield. And what are we yielding to? We're yielding myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. What's this all about? This is the payback principle, the giving back principle. It's when you've been set free. By the time you've made it to this principle number 8, you've been set free by God. You've been healed inside and out. And now what you want to do is to offer back this victory that you have learned and known and experienced in Jesus to someone else who is hurting. Those who are suffering, burdened, and struggling around you. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. You know, when we move into this Celebrate Recovery ministry, we're not only going to be helping those of us right here in this church family, but we're going to be reaching out in our community and saying, come. Come to the Lord. Be set free. Come to the Lord. Allow Him to heal. And let me tell you, the Lord has the power to set you free. The problem is that most often you don't have the tools to live that out. And that's what this ministry is all about, to give you the tools, the skills that are necessary in order to stay free, to break the chains that keep you locked up. You know, Celebrate Recovery is this biblical and balanced ministry that helps those who are struggling and burdened and who are desperate for healing, but yet simply don't know how to unlock the chains. But we're going to help, because we're going to step into that gap with biblical tools and principles that will set you free. You know, as I mentioned, there are those right here in our own church family that I know personally, you've told me that you struggle so much. You're burdened and struggling with issues of either abuse in your past or drugs or alcohol or struggling with an addiction to pornography or an addiction, a sex addiction, or a gambling addiction. You know, that doesn't mean you can't be a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, we're not perfect people. Christians aren't. We're simply forgiven people. But Christ has come to move us beyond the forgiveness, to break us free. To set us free from that which is chaining us down. There is a member of our church that we've asked to do a video. She's sharing her story with us. I want you to hear her story today.
Well, my name is Kelly Danina, and my family and I have been attending since 2011. I truly believe today that I'm the fortunate recipient of the gift of desperation. Because my story began being born into an alcoholic environment. So much so that my mom's father passed 3 months after I was born, to cirrhosis of the liver, and 24 years later I would bury her to the same disease. My first time experimenting was not out of curiosity, it was to achieve the effects that I saw around everybody else. I have a brother that's 2 years older, today still struggling with active addiction. And I was out of control really, really, really young. Really young. It was a Friday. I was Seymour Johnson Air Force Base, government employee, 6 beers into it. Functioning, working. But I knew that by one, I could be 12 beers into it. My last day was not my worst. It's just, thank God it was my last. I was on the phone with the insurance company, begging them to get me into some place to detox, because I knew that I wasn't safe anywhere. I was newly married at the time, and my husband was a fighter pilot, and he talked to his flight doctor, and he went out on a limb for me, and he got me a bed at a treatment center, and my journey began again. When things got complicated again at 27, I was on my third cancer diagnosis, my marriage was in the toilet, my house had burned up, my dog had died. I had been without meetings for like a year and a half because we had moved, and I didn't have anyone to turn to be honest with. I mean, alcohol wasn't a part of my life anymore. It wasn't a part of my household. I took it for granted that I was not ever gonna think that I would do that again, and I did. I turned to it again. And through finding this place and knowing that I was home, and my son was safe and growing in a relationship with the Lord, it was attractive enough for my husband to want to investigate as well. And that led to reconciliation and a lot of healing, and more importantly, to this family praying aloud together today. So today, my joy comes from being able to be real and true in every aspect of my life. It comes from knowing that no pill or no substance is gonna fix whatever I'm feeling. My joy comes in knowing that whatever I'm given, I'm gonna get through today, sober, because it's really just today. It's all I gotta do, and I've woken up a few days in this journey, and my life has not looked the same at the time that I went to sleep that night. And I didn't know what new normal was gonna look like, and it was a process, but I never had to turn to something else because I knew it wasn't gonna work. The only way through it was gonna be through it.
You know, Kelly's story is one of many, many, many stories right here in our own church family that we could have highlighted. People who have come to through ministry like Celebrate Recovery and have come to a place like Christ Church where we can be real with each other. You know, nobody here believes anybody else's life is perfect. If they do, they're living in a fantasy world. Because life is not perfect. It's not. It's hard. And there are times when we're struggling with things. And the more we struggle with them and the more we self-medicate, the worse we get until we find the tools to move into the healing power of God. And as Kelly said, until they the most wonderful thing was finding, after moving through this treatment, to finding a place like Christ Church where she could be real and live out the gospel life, knowing that she's surrounded with people who love and care for her. You know, our 2018-2019 Bold and Courageous initiatives are those that respond to God's, or to the call of Jesus to come and to go, to those who are broken, to those who are hurting, to those who are struggling and burdened. Jesus has come. And we're going to step into that to say to those who are struggling right here in our own church family, to those who are in our community who are struggling, come, be set free. Bring your hurts and your hang-ups and your habits, and let's submit them to Christ and be set free. That's what we're going to be stepping into. And to those of us whose lives have been made whole, who are on the other side of all of that, who have been transformed by the power of His love and grace, Jesus calls us to go. And that's what we're going to do. Through our emergency response team, through the which is our brand new initiative, through the online campus, through our school in Kenya and others, you know, we are going into the world to make disciples. That's what this church is all about. We step into those gaps. You know, sure, doing these kinds of things, you know, all of these bold and courageous faith initiatives are scary. You know, they just flat out are. I don't know how else to tell you. They're scary to step into these places where we've not stepped before, but we know that we're going because the Holy Spirit has led us here. He has led us into this place where we desire beyond anything else to connect our community with the saving love of Jesus Christ. And we can do just that. I want you to take your to look in your program, and you'll find a card that looks just like this. It says Difference Maker on it. Or if it's folded, it says Ference Maker. Yeah. But if you open it up, it says Difference Maker, see? And when you do, you'll see our last Bold and Courageous initiatives over on the left. You'll see the process of our funding those initiatives. And on the right, you'll find our brand new initiatives for our emergency response team and our Celebrate Recovery ministry. You know, these are all two-year initiatives for us to look at. So we've got 17 and 18, and then 18 and 19 initiatives as we move forward. And then on the very end is a card that you can help us make this a reality. And I want to speak to those of you who are brand new to Christ Church for just a moment. For those of you who are brand new here, to those of you who weren't here a year ago, who've never filled out a Difference Maker card, I want to speak to you. You know, this congregation is filled with people that are making this ministry happen, that are supporting this ministry and supporting our old initiatives, our initiatives from last year. But I'm asking you, those of you who are new to Christ Church from last year, who have never filled out one of those cards, I'm asking you specifically to step up and support these ministries that send us out into the world and invite the hurting and broken to come, to help us reach out and make disciples of the all nations, and for those who are hurting and struggling and burdened to come to be set free by the power of Jesus Christ. I'm encouraging you to do that, to join with me in making this happen. You know, the funding is not much this year. It's actually, our two initiatives are about $130,000 total for 2 years. And so I would encourage you to make this a reality, to make it happen. To those of you who have filled out a card last year, and if any of these initiatives that I've mentioned this year speak to you, if you would like to increase your giving for this next year, we'd love to have that. It will just help make this happen even quicker and faster. As soon as the initiatives are funded, we are on the way, and we're going to be stepping into the gap to those who are hurting, to the confused, to the lost, to the lonely, to the struggling, and to the burdened. Christ Church is saying, "Here we are, Lord. Send us." And that, folks, is good news. Get it? Good. So I'm going to ask you to fill out your card, take it home, pray about it, fill it out, bring it to the 30th anniversary service next weekend, for next weekend or the weekend after. You have an opportunity to turn those in. And let's fund these initiatives and make this a reality right here in Fairfax Station. God has blessed us, and in His abundance we reply. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all the good gifts that you pour out upon us. We can never, ever, 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 ever outgive you. That's just what we know, that your gifts continue to pour upon us. And so we pray that, Lord, as we do our very best to fund these initiatives, to make life a reality, to move people from existence to life, we pray that you would make that possible right here in this very place. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We honor, worship, and adore you. And thank you, Lord, for the promise of setting us free to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.